Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. 63 years ago, minus one day, the Covenant Baptist Church met just down the road at 8320 Canal Road. My parents remained faithful through those difficult first few years. God blessed their efforts and those of a handful of charter members and their families. In the bulletin, you can see where the church met. Once the first building was built, it was soon overflowing. The youth department had to meet over at Dresden Elementary. And great days were had, and you can see some of the pictures in the vestibule. This main auditorium and building was built a few years later. And in the late 60s and early 70s, the main auditorium was regularly full from the second row, because rarely does anybody sit in the first row, all the way to the very back, and pews used to go all the way to the back. But whenever a church is seeing success, know for sure that our enemy will soon attack. In about 1973, our church had a major division with some 30 families leaving. You can imagine what that would be like. It took many years to recover. Some say that it never truly recovered. When Don and I began our ministry here in 1975, the church took us on by faith as finances were slim. Again, through all of this, Reverend Ted and Rosemary Madonna stood firm in the faith and in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Through the good times and the tough times, our founding pastor and his wife were always faithful to their Lord. Would you join me as we recognize Reverend Ted Madonna at this time? Now, I don't want you to ever think that it was all of Pastor Ted and Rosemary Madonna. Let me quickly say that without the help of good, godly, committed, and faithful people, this outpost of faith would not be here. Thank you for your part in this lighthouse for the cause of Jesus Christ. But how is this done? Take your Bibles and stand as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, well-known scriptures, verses that you might have highlighted there in your Bible. And it says in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day as we have gathered together to remember what you have done for us through the Covenant Baptist Church. And Lord, we pray that this church will remain faithfully serving you until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you were to go back and look at the schedule for our anniversary Sundays, you would find one song over and over again. Either as we had it as an opening song today, or as a choir special or maybe as a solo or a duet. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Written by Fanny Crosby. Great things he hath done. Without the Lord's working in and through our members and outside sources, this church and these buildings would not be here. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. The message of the Covenant Baptist Church for 63 years of its existence has been to proclaim the shed blood of Jesus Christ that paid our sin debt. And we have taught and we have preached that you cannot work your way to heaven, but that Jesus Christ died so that we can be saved. Now, we are to do good works because we are saved, not to be saved. And thank God for his unspeakable gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 8 and 9, but God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. As you look at that song, To God Be the Glory, in the chorus, it tells us that we are to praise the Lord. And may I say this, that when we come together, we are to worship the Lord, and it's not for our honor or for our glory. That we are to rejoice in our salvation. For our salvation is nearer now than when we believed. And we look forward to that. And we are to give him all glory for the great things he hath done. As we read verse 2, we find again more theology in the songs. The songs of a past had so much theology as compared to the songs of today. In verse 1, it talked about the atonement for sin. And we're going to find another thought in just a moment. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Redemption. Because we have been freed from the bondage of sin, we are free from the penalty of sin and hellfire. The price has been paid to take us out of the slave camp of sin. We think of propitiation. Jesus paid the sacrifice for our sin. And God the Father experienced satisfaction. There was an appeasement. And it was accepted for the payment of for our spiritual freedom. May I say this quickly? We cannot save ourselves. And we are not saved through anything that we have done. We're not saved because we live in America. We're not saved because we have money or education. We are only saved through the shed blood of Christ. Isaiah 53:10 says, Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Reconciliation. Why did Jesus endure the mistreatment he received while on this earth, culminating in a torturous death? That he might open the door for us to experience an unending relationship with him. When we come to God through the only means possible, that being the cross of Christ, we who used to be enemies with God can now rejoice in the peace of God. Our conclusion. You say, whoa, the conclusion already. Yes, I've got 7 points under my conclusion. What a joyous message that Jesus Christ saves. Well, what a joyous message that he loves us and cares for us. And any church that teaches or preaches another message is anathema, accursed. Oh, what a blessing it is to have the blessed Word of God. What a blessing it is that we use the Word of God. That this is our textbook. It is our main book. It is our source for our sermons and message. Do you realize what a blessing that is? Because you can go to some churches and they might get half a verse. But we want to use the whole Word of God. What a blessing that is. And you'll understand that more when we get to heaven, when we meet the Word. What an unspeakable gift. You ever receive a gift and you didn't know what to do with it? Have you ever opened a gift in front of the person that gave it to you and you thought to yourself, what in the world am I going to do with this? And you were thinking of where you could hide it. And when that person came over, you brought it out. Someone's agreeing with me right here. And you brought it out and you put it in a place of prominence. And so when they left, you put it away. In fact, almost before they got back onto the street. And you were just so glad that you didn't have to look at it again for a while. We probably had gifts like that, right? How about the... They do make great Christmas and July gifts. But what about the gift of Jesus that he gives us? Is it priceless? Is it something that we treasure? You know, when you get a gift, a lot of times you want to do what with it? Show it off, right? You want other people to see it. You want other people. Now, you don't want them to be jealous. You don't even want them to be envious, but you want them to say, wow, that's nice. Somebody really loves you. Are we willing to share our precious gift with others? Because it is precious, isn't it? And it is worthwhile, isn't it? And it is something that we should want to show off. What a blessing. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning that my son last weekend ran in the Detroit Marathon. I don't know if it's the Detroit Free Press Marathon or whatever, but any of you run in it last week? 10,000 people were involved. And he ran half of it because he was with a group of people from where he works, and they had a tag team type thing, and he ran half the marathon. And he was showing me on a map where he hit the wall. Brother Wutke, you understand hitting the wall because you used to run full marathons. And there's a point where you hit what they say is the wall. You don't want to go any further. In fact, your mind is saying, what in the world are you doing? But you have to run through the wall. And Brian showed me where he hit the wall. And then he said he ran through it and he got his second wind. You know, the Bible tells us that we are not to be weary in well-doing. Because God gives the increase. We are to plant the seed, we are to water the seed. But God gives the increase. Paul said to the church at Galatia, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So my message to you is keep on keeping on. Remain faithful to the work of the Covenant Baptist Church. Pray for it. Pray for its leaders. Pray for those who attend, that we will remain faithful in this world that needs to know about Jesus Christ. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, growing up as a PK, you all know what a PK is, right? A preacher's kid. I never once asked my dad if we were going to church. I knew we were going to church. I knew we were going on Wednesday night. And for a while, the church met on Wednesday night at our house. So I knew I was going to Wednesday night service. But the fact of the matter is I was brought up in the church. There were times as a kid I didn't always appreciate that. But I sure appreciate it now. I appreciate the fact that my parents took me to the house of God. To the church at Corinth, he wrote, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Folks, we need strong believers. Do you remember the commercial for the garbage bags? We don't need any wimpy believers. What was that? Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy? And we need what? Hefty. Yeah. We need men and women that are... No, I don't want to say that. But we need believers that are strong in the faith. They don't quit because, oh, their feelings got hurt. Folks, we need to be strong and watch. We need to be faithful. And then he said to the church at Rome, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." How's your joy today? Do you have joy? Do you have peace of mind? Do you have hope? Let me ask you a question. Are you excited with the prospect of seeing Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not saying you're going to do it today. Okay? How many of you remember Joyce Dyer? She used to come to our church by herself. Joyce Dyer. Any of you remember Joyce? Her son just died. 52 years old? 52 years old. Had the funeral up here at Sullivan's. I didn't find out about it till afterwards. 52. Wouldn't you say that's young? To pass away. And there was no hope that he knew Christ as Savior. No hope. That's sad, isn't it? Do you have a hope to see the Lord soon? Could be today. There is no guarantee of tomorrow, is there? There's no guarantee. We don't know what lays ahead. I remember when I got the news that my brother had passed away, 38 years old. 38. That's so young. Some of you have lost children and grandchildren that were young. Is there a hope? Where does that hope come from? From Jesus Christ. It's our desire that this church continue to provide hope for a dying world. I was talking to True Hawkins. You know, our church has supported Hawkins as missionaries for a long, long time. In fact, I don't remember this church not supporting a Hawkins family. First, it began with the dad, and then we supported three of the sons. One has since retired as a pastor in Texas now. But True Hawkins is going to be here in a couple of weeks, three or four weeks he's going to come. He asked if he could come in November. I don't know if a Brazilian can come to Michigan in November. He was in Texas when he called me. He said it was 50 degrees and he was cold. Should we pray that it snows? Yes. Well, why do we send missionaries to Brazil? So they can take hope. Right? We can take hope. I have hope in Jesus Christ. Do you have peace in Jesus Christ? He gave peace, not as the world giveth, but only as he can give. You know, the world tries to give you peace. Folks, you can't find peace over at Lakeside Mall. What's left of it? You can't find peace on Amazon. Okay? You can't find peace on Facebook. Yeah. But you can find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what this church needs to do for the next 63 years? Be a testimony for Christ, right? To be a witness. How many of you are going to be here in 63 years? Uh-huh. Maybe you. Yeah. I'm not going to be here. So we need to prepare people for the future, right? People who are going to continue the job. In just a moment, we're going to be having a time of invitation. And I'm going to ask that you pray for the Covenant Baptist Church during our invitation time. You can come to the altar. You can come and sit on the front pew. You can remain right where you're at because I'm not going to have you stand up. In fact, we're going to do this a little bit different. The musicians will come and Pastor Stephen is going to sing. And I'm going to ask you to pray for the Covenant Baptist Church. Like I said, you can come to the altar, you can come to the front pew, or you can just remain where you're at. But I'm going to ask you to pray for the Covenant Baptist Church. Now, when you pray for the Covenant Baptist Church, you are also saying that I'm going to be part of the Covenant Baptist Church and I want to be used by the Lord here. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now for this invitation time that as your people pray, Lord, that you would bless and honor their prayers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.